Hey, welcome to Church Experience. Thank you so much for joining us today at our online campus. If it's your first time with us, we would love to connect with you. The best way for us to do that is if you head over to churchexperience.tv/connect. It's also a great place to go at any point during today's service. If you have any questions, any comments, any prayer requests, love to hear from you, love to get back to you, and we would love to be praying for you. Well, I'm so excited to jump into today's message. Let's do that. Let's all stand. Let's sing some songs of praise to our Heavenly Father.
Our eyes, we won't fear the fight. There is one who's stronger. Heart pressed on each side, we will not lose sight of the one who's greater. Is the enemy one King who reigns for all eternity? Jesus, Jesus. On the battlefield, your power is revealed. Giants fall. Taking ground, walls are falling down. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, one name holds every victory. One voice that silences the
Everything is in that name. Everything is in that name. Healing, victory, deliverance, power. Everything is in that name. When we have nothing else to pray, when we have nothing else to say, we just say the precious name of Jesus, and it covers it all. And so, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for covering us and delivering us and healing us. You deserve every last ounce of breath of praise that we have to give you in this place. Jesus, we thank you. It's in your name we pray this. Amen.
Well, hey, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope that you filled up on all kinds of good food, got to spend time with your loved ones, and most of all, I hope you gave thanks to God for his incredible goodness in your life. Well, Thanksgiving is incredible every year, but what's even better is that right after Thanksgiving, we get to move into the Christmas season officially. That means you can officially turn your lights on your house without your neighbors complaining, man, it's too early. It means you can listen to Christmas music without the haters coming out saying, you can't be listening to Christmas music in November. And listen, if you're listening to Christmas music in July, that is too early. I'm just saying. But it is great that it's the Christmas season, and there's so much to look forward to, especially here with our church family. We're looking forward to next Sunday, December 5th, with the launch of our Home for Christmas teaching series. We're looking forward to December 12, our special next fund offering that's going to fuel forward our vision. We're so excited about that and hope you'll participate. Looking forward to our epic Christmas services on December 19. It's going to be the best day of the year to invite your friends and your family. I mean, you should see what they have done to our Central Campus Auditorium. It is just incredible. It's going to be an amazing set of services all month long. I cannot wait to see what God does in your life. And I hope you'll be here for every single week. Well, hey, we're going to go ahead and get into today's message, the final week in our Chasing More teaching series. This has been an amazing month of us journeying along and talking about what it means to pursue more without ending up with less. And so today we're going to look at an incredible story from God's Word in the book of Mark chapter 5. I'm going to encourage you to pull out a Bible or power your Bible on so you can follow along with us. But this set of stories that we're going to read today is just amazing because you get a peek into seeing the amazing more that Jesus offers. And I hope that this will be a message, a special message that truly changes your life. So let's go ahead and jump into Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." All right, you saw those verses, and it's just hard to get the words to come off the page, isn't it, to really understand the desperation of what is happening right there in that moment. This man thinks that his daughter is going to die and that his only hope is to get to Jesus and convince Jesus to come to his house and lay his hands on his daughter. So he comes passionately and earnestly, sincerely asking Jesus to come change his situation. He chased Jesus down because he knew that Jesus offered something he couldn't get anywhere else. He knew that Jesus had more. Jesus had more. And he realized that the more that Jesus had couldn't be found anywhere else. In fact, anything else, any other solution for his family would be less. And for his daughter to live, he needed Jesus. That was the answer. And his desperation drove his decision to pursue Jesus. Have you got to that point yet in your life where you realize that there are no better options? There's no better options. There's nothing that will bring more into your life, into what you need in your situation, than Jesus alone. That's where this guy got. And so it says literally that he fell at Jesus' feet. It says that he pleaded with him earnestly. See, he knew that Jesus meant life. He knew that Jesus meant life for his daughter. And you need to know that Jesus is your only hope for your family. Jesus is your only hope for your future. Jesus is your only hope for your soul. Jesus is what you actually need. And this guy knew it. He knew that Jesus' healing was the only hope that he had. And so he earnestly sought after Jesus. He wanted his daughter to be well, and he knew that Jesus meant life. And Jesus means life to your soul and to your spirit. And last week we referenced this verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Did you see that? God rewards those who seek him. We talked about how he's not hiding. He's not hiding, but he wants you to seek him. He wants you to seek him. And the more that you pursue him, and the more that you want him to show up in your life, the more he will make himself known. And like Jairus here in this story, he's desperate for God to break through in his situation and heal his daughter. So he pursues Jesus with everything that he has. And he realizes that the only hope for his home, for his family, is Jesus. And I just wonder how many of us are trying our best to build our homes and our families and build our careers and build our lives and our character and all these things, yet we haven't yet realized that Jesus is actually the key that unlocks the potential of all those things. And so he brought to Jesus his heart. He pursued him passionately and earnestly. And here's the lesson I would love for you to write down today. Intense prayer brings the breakthrough. Intense prayer is what will bring the breakthrough into your home, into your life. It's intense prayer. Where do you need a breakthrough today? Where is it? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Where's the breakthrough that you need personally, professionally, interpersonally? Where's the breakthrough that you're asking God for? Listen, intense prayer, crying out to God genuinely. This guy fell at his feet. He fell at Jesus' feet, and earnestly he begged God. He said, come. And imagine how you would have approached God if it was your child on their deathbed. You would not casually stroll into his presence, kind of delicately make your way through the crowd, wait your turn in line. Now, you would run to the front of the line and you would throw yourself in all humility at Jesus' feet and you would beg him with everything you got. And that's the kind of prayer that gets God's attention. The prayer of a person who's desperate to see God move in their life. So are you chasing God with desperation? Or has your walk with him become lukewarm, casual at best? To see God really bring a breakthrough in my life, I have to pursue him in prayer. It was Samuel Chadwick who said this. We're going to put the verses here on the screen for you to see. It says, the one concern of the devil is to keep us from prayer. Our enemy fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Prayer turns ordinary mortals into people of power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. There is no power like that of prevailing prayer. Wow. Prayer is so powerful. And the devil will do anything he can to keep you from praying those intense breakthrough prayers, because he knows that's when God really starts to move in your life. He'll try to stop you from praying. But prayer in itself is not where the power is. It's not in the prayer itself. If the power was in the prayer itself, that would just be religion. But the power is actually in the God behind the prayer. The prayer is the conversation to the God who you're asking to get involved and move things. And you need to understand that if you want to unlock the power of prayer in your life. It's not a religious ritual, going through the motions, checking a religious box. It's accessing the God of the universe who has said, come, knock on my door, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. He said, come, come before me with confidence. Because of Jesus, the way has been made open to you. Come into my presence and ask for what you need. And when you come before him and you ask for him in desperation, like this person, Jairus, came to Jesus and right before him, with everything that he had, asked for Jesus' help. When you come to God like that, you see God move. You see God move. Changes lives. It changes our lives. And you have a part of you that probably is still dependent on yourself to provide the answer to the prayer. And certainly God has a role for us to play. But your most critical role in prayer is not leaving the prayer room and depending on yourself. It's your dependence upon God. That's one of the greatest lessons out of prayer, is to become dependent on God, reliant on him, trusting in his will, and also following his ways. It's becoming dependent on God. It depends on me depending on him. As I heard John Tyson say to a group of us pastors one time, he said, we wrestle for peace in private so we can have power in public. You need more power and strength to do what God has put in front of you to do than seek him privately in prayer. That's where you access the power. And Jairus knew that the power rested at Jesus' feet. And so he humbled himself and he came to Jesus' feet, accessing his power for his situation. Let's look back at this story again. There's so much more to it. Mark chapter 5. Look down with me at verse 24. It says, so Jesus went with him. Jesus answered that prayer. He said, come, and Jesus said, all right, I'll go. You know, sometimes we have to pray over and over again, and I think there's a consistency along with intensity that God answers prayer in, and sometimes it's the consistency plus the intensity over a period of time, but this time Jesus said yes right away, right exactly how he asked, and he went with him. And it says further on in verse 24, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So there's some urgency to this situation. Jairus, I imagine, is hurrying Jesus along. He's probably walking quickly and, all right, Jesus, are you coming with me? And he's making his way through the crowd. But Jesus, everyone wants to see him and touch him. And they've heard about this great healer. And so they're crowding around him. They want to hear this great teacher. And they're wanting to talk to him and touch him. And it says they pressed all around him. And just as a point of observation, Jesus was surrounded by busyness, but he was laser focused on his mission. His mission was people. They weren't a distraction for him. And even though he was surrounded by busyness, he was not distracted. He was focused. Did you know that you can be busy and focused, or you can be busy and distracted? The choice is really yours, but both of those are options in our world. But the one thing that's not an option is to be busy or not, right? Because life is busy, especially this time of year. I mean, there's so much busyness in everything. I mean, it's decorating the house for Christmas and making the Christmas cookies, putting together your Christmas card to send out to your family and friends, inviting the family over or making plans to travel, right? It's the work Christmas party. It's my favorite, the white elephant gift exchange. You're walking through your garage looking for anything that you can give away, and the white elephant gift exchange has to be funny, has to be something you don't really want, right? So you're looking for that special gift to repurpose. I mean, it's just, there's so many fun traditions around Christmas, but from the hanging of the lights to the wrapping of gifts and picking out the perfect thing for the one you love, I mean, there's so many traditions that cause us to be extra busy this time of year, and busy is not really an option. It's busyness all around. And now some people take all of that stuff and they say it's a distraction, and they just get rid of all of it. They throw it all out. It's a distraction from the real meaning of Christmas, and it sure can be. You can get through all these festivities and realize, oh, wait, this is all about Jesus' birthday. It's all about Jesus' birth. And I've been doing everything other than celebrating Jesus' birth. So there's some people just get rid of all. It's just too much of a distraction. But then there's others that say, you know what? Because Jesus is such a big deal, we're going to make a big deal of this month. And so it's worth our extra effort. It's worth all the festivities and the decorating and the giving of gifts, because we're doing it all because the gift that God gave us in Jesus, he's a big deal, so we're going to make a big deal of it. We're going to throw a big party. We're going to celebrate because it's such an incredible thing. And listen, I'm not saying you can't celebrate in either one of those ways. I'm just simply saying this. Busyness can actually be a blessing if you have a purpose inside it. So you can be busy and distracted, or you can be busy and focused, but you're going to be in a world that's busy. That's just what our world is these days. The phone is always buzzing. There's always a new message filling up in one of your inboxes, one of your many inboxes, and there's always new work to be done and new friends to be made and new tasks to be checked off and new accomplishments to be finished. You're going to be busy your whole life. I've rarely met a person who didn't seem busy or say that they were busy. The question is, will you be focused? Because Jesus had the crowds pressing in all around him, but he was so focused on why he came and why the Father had sent him. He was focused on you because he loved you so much that he came to give his life as a ransom for many, that all who would turn to him would not perish, but that they'd have everlasting life by receiving the life that he came to offer there on the cross. And so he knew it was about people. He knew it was about love. He knew it was about God's kingdom. And so he stayed on mission, even though he was surrounded by busyness. A question that I'd love for you to take into your busy season ahead, and something I want you to keep on the top of mind as you go into 2022, and that's this question: what distractions keep me from chasing more of Jesus? What distractions? Because they're all around us, aren't they? The distractions are abundant. So what distractions are keeping you from pursuing more of Jesus, chasing more of him? What is it? Because I know we all get distracted, and maybe you've been distracted. Maybe you're distracted right now, but what are those things in your life and around your life that are causing distraction? And what can you do to repurpose and align your life so that you pursue more of Jesus in this Christmas season? All right, let's look back at the story of verse 25. And remember, Jesus is surrounded by the crowd. They're pressing in on him. Now notice this in verse 25. Do you see this? A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Can you imagine? This woman makes her way through this crowd, and it must have been a packed crowd because they were pressing in on Jesus, and it was a lot of people. And so she was making her way through this crowd, and she reaches out a hand to touch Jesus. And she had this suffering going on in her body for 12 long years. Some of us can't imagine what that would be like. Some of us can't imagine if it was only 12 years, because you've been suffering for a long time. And this is where this woman was. She had been experiencing pain, suffering, and she wanted to make things better because they were not as they should be in her body. And she tried everything. Did you notice that verse in verse 26? It said she'd spent everything. She'd gone everywhere. She'd seen every doctor. She tried every special technique. She'd done everything that she could to try to fix the problem on her own. She wanted more life for herself. She wanted more healing. She wanted a better situation. And although she was striving for more and chasing more, she always ended up with less. But now she heard of this great healer, Jesus. And if I could just get to him, it sounds like he's the answer that I've been looking for. And once she realized that he was the key to bring the healing into her life, she set her focus on finding Jesus, pursuing Jesus, seeking him for the healing that she so desperately needed. And so she tracked him down and she reached out a hand in faith and she touched him. And what was so special about that moment was her faith, and that's what brought healing into her life, and all the suffering was gone. See, she realized that Jesus was the key for things to get better. And I want you to realize today and be reminded that Jesus is the key for your improvement. Jesus is the only way that things are going to get better. Jesus is the way that you will experience more. He is what you are actually looking for. So pursue him in faith. You know, we all want things to get better. We do. We're all chasing something out in the future. And I thought this was a really interesting interview. Maybe you've seen this, Matthew McConaughey. And I want you just to listen to this story and notice what he was chasing. I think it's a good idea. Check it out.
I don't think it was in my mind about, oh, I'm getting nervous if I win or they don't call my name. I think I was getting nervous that time's coming.
Here are the nominees for performance by an actor in a leading role.
I realized it right before they were calling out the names of the possible best actors. Oh, my name's the only one that starts with an M. If you hear the words, that would be great news.
And the Oscar goes to...
I laid my head back. I think I was looking up, and I heard...
Matthew McConaughey.
I had quite a release right then, you know, of joy, probably some tears, and then moved up. That wonderful position to be able to move up that stage and accept an award given to me by my peers. People that I admire, whose work I admire, said, yep, excellent work. Excellent craftsmanship. Yes, A+.
First, thank you to the other nominees. All these performances were impeccable.
I remember not having any speech. It would be a bit of arrogance or a coup de grace to have something written. I was like, no, that's not for me to do. That's a little presumptuous.
First off, I want to thank God, because that's who I look up to. To my family, that's who and what I look forward to. And to my hero, that's who I chase.
I'm chasing me in 10 years. My hero's me in 10 years. That's a form of the first one, of someone to look up to, but it's, for me, it's the mortal version of who am I gonna become?
My hero's always 10 years away. I'm never gonna be my hero. I'm not gonna attain that. I know I'm not, and that's just fine with me because that keeps me with somebody to keep on chasing.
To those three things, I say, all right, all right, all right. You know, that's the callback to the very first three words I ever said on film for what I thought may be a one-night hobby that I'd never do again, which turned out to be, 29 years later, a career that I love. I'm honored to sign off with that now because it calls back to a beginning for me.
So, to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to, whatever it is we look forward to, and whoever it is we're chasing, to that I say amen. To that I say, all right, all right, all right.
And don't you love that? He's chasing his hero. The hero that he never will be. The hero that's always 10 years out. The person that he aspires to be is his future self. And I love that. It's a desire to get better, to improve, to not settle for where you are, but always strive to be better. But never forget this. The better that you're after is only possible in Jesus. Truly, to unlock the full potential of what God has in store for you and what he wants for your life is only possible in him. And God has a longer time horizon than you do. It's certainly longer than 10 years. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God's word says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's always working out his good plan for you. He's got a process and he's making progress. And as you walk with him more and more day by day, he's helping you be better, to be more, to experience more in him, to mature your faith, to help you trust in his ways more than you did last year and the year before that. He's always moving us forward and helping us find progress in him. Jesus is our only hope to find the full extent of God's potential for us. We taught last week about how God wants more for us than we do. He's got bigger dreams for your life than even you do. And the only way to fully tap into that is to see that God has more and that he is the more that you've been looking for. I want to go back to this story one more time in Mark chapter 5. I just love this story and this the conclusion of this story, but it's an epic and amazing ending to the story. And Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Let's pause there for a moment. He says, just have faith. Just trust me for the miracle. Believe that I have the power to be the solution to your biggest need. And Jairus' biggest need was he needed healing. He needed healing in his home. And Jesus said, listen, just have faith. Just believe, trust me. Put your eyes on me, follow me, believe in me, and I can help you with the brokenness in your home, and he can help you with the brokenness in your home. Let's continue the story here. It says, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. You know, there's always going to be distractors. You know, we talked about distractions earlier, but you're also going to have distractors in your life. People who are in themselves a distraction. You know, with their comments, with the things that they say about who you used to be, "Oh, you haven't changed," and "Oh, you'll never be able to do it." I mean, you're not going to be better. All these different things, and they're really distractors. And I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't really answer them. And you don't have to seek the approval and the affirmation of your distractors. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. You just keep following Jesus. And you know what they did? Those who came with him, the family, they followed Jesus into the home. Look, after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Can you imagine? This is unbelievable. This guy lost his daughter. She was dead. The grave had robbed her of the rest of her life. And robbed this family of this joyous little girl that was running around their home with smiles and laughter and playfulness and hopping in daddy's lap and giving hugs and kisses. And death had stolen this life from this family. And there she was laid out dead, and people were wailing and grieving at this terrible tragedy. And yet Jesus comes in, and through his voice that gives life, he calls this young girl back to life. And she raises from the dead, and she's alive again, and she can embrace her family and hug them and high-five them and dance and jump and sing and smile because of the power of Jesus, because of the power of his voice to come into that family and bring life again. That's the power of Jesus, to bring hope to your family, to bring hope to your marriage, to bring hope to your children, to bring hope to your future, to your soul, to bring life again, to bring what was dead back to life. That's the power of Jesus. Can we clap our hands and praise that God in heaven? Come on. Let's praise him. Let's praise him today. That's amazing. Wow, what a God. What a God that we serve. Has the power over death. The power over all things that are dying in our life to bring them back to life again. And what an incredible God we serve. And did you notice at the beginning of that story, he told Jairus, and Jairus, to his credit, followed Jesus. He says, just believe. Just have faith. Just trust me. But it seems impossible, God. Just trust me. Just believe. Just have faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to see the hand of God move. Maybe you want to write this lesson down today. Faith moves the hand of God. Faith moves the hand of God. It moves it. There's been so many times I've been out surfing. I love to surf. I've surfed in like 9 different states. It's been a hobby of mine since I was a high school student. And I love paddling out into waves, except for at times when there's really rough water and really high waves and that white water is pulling you back to shore. Because my arms will get tired. I'll be paddling out to get out into the break, and I want to get out in the lineup and wait for a good set to roll in. But I just sometimes just struggle to get out. Those waves will just crash over my head. And as much as I try to paddle out, they pull me back. And it seems like no matter how hard I push, I never get out to where I need to go. Those big waves, they just push me. They're so much stronger. They're so much bigger. And I just want you to imagine the power of God, the hand of God, like a massive wave. This towering wave way over your head, this just moving through. And you can push all you want on that problem in your life, but until you place it in the mighty hand of God, this is a constant prayer of mine. God, just please just move things forward. And I'm thinking of different things in my life, and I'm just saying, God, just by your hand, just move this. Because God, you can move mountains. God, just take care of this problem. God, I believe in faith. I trust you that God, you can provide. You can solve this problem. God, give me wisdom. Show me what you want me to do. God, give me peace just to wait. Whatever the situation is, I'm praying for God's powerful hand to move where I can't move, because I know that in faith, the hand of God moves when we pray. We pray prayers of faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 6 goes further, and it says, when without faith, it's impossible. Do you see that word? It's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, everyone doesn't need to believe that the miracle is going to happen. And all those people that were laughing when Jesus said, she's not going to be dead. She's alive. And they laughed. They mocked. And you're going to have people like that in your life too, but you just keep your eyes on Jesus. You just keep believing. You just keep trusting about what he says you are and who he says you are. You just keep trusting in that. And even though you have other voices in your life that might say other things, and you might have your own voice in your head, you listen to the voice of God and his word above every other voice, and you trust what he says is true. I don't know if you noticed this in this story, but when Jesus heals this young girl, I mean, it's miraculous, and you'd think he would say, you know, for the sake of promoting the kingdom of God, right? Like, hey, tell everybody about this. Did anybody get a picture of that? Let me post it on social media, because that was amazing what I just did. I just healed this young woman, and she was dead, and now she's alive. So just tell everybody, because there's going to be thousands that are going to come into the kingdom after this miracle. But it's not what he says, is it? Did you notice that? He says, don't tell anybody. Like, you see him do this multiple times throughout the Gospels, and it's like, why did Jesus try to quiet this really good news, this thing that happened? And the reason the scholars believe that he would often do this is because his popularity was growing so rapidly, as you could see earlier in the story. The crowds were already pressing in around him because they heard the stories. And so the crowds were growing, his popularity was growing, while at the same time, the fury of the religious leaders was rising because he was usurping their authority, and the crowds were following them, and they were no longer following them as much. And he was getting the attention, and they were angry at Jesus for not following the way things that they thought that they should go. And so their anger is rising. His popularity is increasing. There's nothing but a crisis in the future, a conflict. And had that conflict come too soon, it could have prematurely ended his ministry. He still had a mission. He had things to accomplish, things yet to teach, lessons he wanted to pour into his disciples before it was his time to go to the cross. And so he was minimizing the crowd and these stories that were already getting out. It's interesting. And you know, Jesus had the power to bring this dead woman back to life, and he has power to do miracles in your life, and it's not just to make you better. Listen, I love that video earlier. You know, I'm just trying to become a better version of me. You know, out on the horizon, I just think that's a great way to view things. I'm trying to get to a better version of me. I think there's a lot of good things in that. God's working out his plan in my life. But listen, Jesus did not come just to help you become a better person. See, if you were a bad person or an okay person or decent person, it would make sense for Jesus to come and help you become a better person. But you have to know, like, deep down inside, you know you weren't just a bad person or a decent person that needed to be improved to get to a better place in the future. Now, and it was much worse than that. You are a dead person. It tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, that you were much like this girl that was laid out. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. As for you, you personally, me, we were dead in our sins, meaning we had no hope. We had no eternal future. There was no good thing that we would have, because without God's grace in our life, it didn't matter how good we can make our kingdom here on this earth. It was a temporary kingdom that had an expiration date, and we were headed for eternal judgment. So we had no good thing in our life, and it was only by the grace of God, who loved us so much that he gave his own son, Jesus, to come to give his life on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. See, if it was just that you were bad and you needed to be made better, Jesus wouldn't have really needed to come. But it was because that you were dead in your sins, as it says in Ephesians, because I was dead in my sins, Jesus came to give his life so that you could have life eternal, so that you could be resurrected from the grave in the same way that when Jesus was crucified and they buried him on the third day, he rose again with his resurrection power, coming back to life, showing he has power over the grave and showing you that he has power over all things that have died. And listen, you may have had dreams that have died in your life. You may have had hopes that died in your life. You may feel like your spiritual life has died and dried up and you're all dead inside. Listen, God can bring beauty out of the ashes. He can resurrect whatever has died inside of you, and he can bring you dead in your sins back to life again when you trust in his name, when you put Jesus as the first name in your life and you receive his forgiveness and grace and you call on the name of the Lord. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. When you do that and you experience the abundant grace of Jesus, he brings dead things back to life again. Well, that's what we call the gospel, the good news. And it's such good news that there is so much more that God has for us in Jesus. So let me ask you as we close this message and close this teaching series, what breakthrough do you need in your life? What breakthrough are you praying for with intense prayers? What distractions do you need to minimize and just get rid of altogether so you can focus on pursuing more of God, so that you don't end up with the less in the world? See, our hope is that out of this teaching series, you'll just take away one thing, is that God is more. And when you satisfy yourself in God, he satisfies the desires in you because he is more. So chase him, pursue him with everything you've got, and you will find the abundant more of God. Right on, right on. Come on, let's pray together. Hey God, we thank you for your abundant goodness to us. God, we thank you that you are the more that we've been searching for. And Jesus, I pray that you would resurrect in us all those things that have died. There's some that are discouraged today and walking in defeat, and remind them that Jesus, in you, we can have victory. There's some that have given up. Maybe it's a child or a parent or a good friend that they prayed for, but that person's wandered from the faith and maybe even abandoned their relationship with you. And God, resurrect hope inside of us that you can bring dead things back to life again. But most of all, Jesus, we thank you that while we were totally dead in our sins and there was nothing we could do to make ourselves truly better, Jesus, you came and gave your life so that we can be resurrected inside. We can be forgiven of our sins and experience new life in you. And Jesus, we celebrate that today. And as we're praying, maybe you just want to ask God for help in pursuing his abundant more and minimizing distractions. Maybe some of you today, while we're praying, you just need to bow your knee and you need to surrender your life to Jesus. And you need to say in this moment, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Please forgive me. Wash away all my sins. Bring what's dead inside of me back to life. And if you'll pray that prayer in faith, believe it, God hears your prayer and he'll answer that prayer today. And God, we thank you for all the answered prayers. We thank you for your abundant goodness to us. We thank you that you are more. So may we pursue that more in you. May we seek you earnestly like Jairus did when he fell at your feet. May we pursue you with an intensity, God, in prayer and see you move the mountains. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for being a God of abundant more. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today at Church Experience Online. We'd love to hear what you thought about today's service. Head over to churchexperience.tv/connect. Bring your questions, your comments, your prayer requests. Love to hear from you. Love to get back to you. And of course, we'd love to be praying for you. If you want some more Church Experience content throughout your week, head over to our social media pages, our Facebook, our Instagram, our CE website, and download the Church Experience app. We hope to see each and every one of you back here next week. But until then, we'll see you.